Amen? All right, here we go. John chapter 1 this morning. I appreciate that, special kids. And hopefully the thought resonates with you this morning. But I'll get into the message here and try to help us today and see if we can't have a good purpose for being in the church house this morning. Father, I ask for your hand now, please. Help us, I pray. Help me as I preach and teach, Lord. Give me power. Give me a presence of mind, Lord. Help me to be aware of things that need to be said or ought not be said. And Lord, help my tongue to follow you this morning. I pray that you open hearts and minds again. Please have your way and your will in the service. Father, please reign supreme for these next few moments. I ask, I beg. We need you. Holy Spirit, come down, I pray. Be with us now as we hear your word preached in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I think about, as I'm preparing this message this morning, and I'm thinking about the title, Make Thy Way, Make Straight the Way. And if you look at verse 23 there, that's our main text, John chapter 1 and verse 23. As I think about that, I intend, in anticipation, I think about what time of year it is. And it's a time of year where maybe folks might be having some folks over, or you might be heading somewhere else to enjoy Thanksgiving and the holidays. Everybody's a little bit different. People celebrate it a little bit differently. I thought back to when I was younger, and I like to watch the Super Bowl. Anybody else like to watch the Super Bowl? I enjoyed watching the Super Bowl. You might not like it. I enjoyed it. I was big into sports, heavy into sports. And I would always thrill at having somebody over to watch the Super Bowl. I was happy if my uncles were coming by, or if my cousins were coming over, or if some family or friends of some other kind would come over and enjoy the festivities of the Super Bowl. And when I was in anticipation of those folks coming over for the Super Bowl, you know what we always did and what you always do when you have company coming? It's time to clean up, right? So in my room was always a mess until I had company coming over. I think sometimes my mom set company up just so I'd clean my room. But I always, in anticipation, I would make my bed all nice, and I would get all the laundry up off of the floor, and I would dust my stuff off in the room, and I didn't want my TV looking like it had 3 inches of dust on it, so I'd wipe it all off, and I'd clean up my little baseball trophies and all those other things, and I'd make sure that my room was nice and presentable for the family coming over, for the friends coming over. And you ladies do that for Thanksgiving and the holidays and birthday parties and all those other things in anticipation of the crowd in which you're about to host or have. I think about cleaning. I think about the little trinkets that you set up and all those little trinkets that the ladies, that guys don't notice, but the ladies notice. Oh, well, I'll set this here, and I'll set that there, and I'll put this out there, and I'll have this nice little decoration there, and this little eye candy here, and all those nice little things. And then sometimes it takes a little bit of repairs, doesn't it? Sometimes the toilet might not be working right, but you got company coming over, so guess what? I'm going to run down to Ace Hardware. I'm going to find me a way to fix that toilet because I don't want one of my family members coming to use the toilet, and then we got a bigger mess and problem on our hands. But in the anticipation of them coming over, we make straight the way. Don't we? We make straight the way. I think about springtime and spring cleaning and yard work and flower beds and gardens and paint and windows and catching up around the house. I think about folks that may have boats or things in the winter, and they winterize them, and they get them all prepped and ready for the winter. And what are we doing in anticipation of each of those holidays or occasions or seasons? Every time what we're doing is we're making way. I'm making a way for them coming here. Every week this auditorium is clean. Every week this building is clean. It should be clean, and if it's not, it's a problem, but it should be clean. What are we doing? We're making a way for the folks that are coming. We've got guests coming. We've got church members coming, and we want to make a way for the people that are coming. Each above all in preparation, or to make a way for that which is coming. So here in the book of John, chapter 1, you notice in verse 23, God had sent the Jews to ask John who he was. They had gotten a little bit of attention. John had gotten a little bit of attention. John had caused a little bit of a stir. And as he caused a little bit of a stir, the Jews sent the Levites and the Levites, and they said, hey, I want you to go find out, is this the guy we're looking for? Okay? So they come and they ask John, and they say, are you him? Nope, not him. Are you Isaiah? Nope, not him. Are you that prophet? Nope, I'm not him. And John says, I'm not him, but I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, and I want you to know he is coming. I want you to know he is coming. So look at it in verse 23. It says, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, And then he gives them a direct command, and he says, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. John had the opportunity to share Jesus with them. He told them Jesus was coming. He said, I'm just the one given the warning. John said, I am the one that has been chosen to come and stand before you and let you know that your Savior is on his way. So that's what he did. And then the people from that point forward had a choice to make. Do I make way for the Savior? I think about the anticipation of us having family and friends come to our home and we make way for them. But then I have the question to each of us and say, well, Jesus is coming over. Do you make a way for him? You know, we like having our family and friends come by, and we like having our friends over, and we like enjoying a good time, and we take a lot of extra time and effort to prepare that place for the people we love. But Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. So I ask us this morning, do we make straight our way for the Lord? In our lives, in this temple of ours, this vessel in which we've been provided, is it ready for Jesus? John was given that warning this morning. We need Christians today who prepare, who make straight a way for the Lord this morning. It is time for Christians to give Christ place in their hearts. Amen. We have so many Christians this morning that want to dabble in and dabble out in Christ, and they want to come by every once in a while and get involved with Christ, and they want to recognize Christ from afar, and they want the preacher to be close to the Lord so that they can feel a little bit helped out when they're in trouble. But the bottom line is, every one of us personally can be involved in the Lord.
Amen.
You don't have to have somebody else coming to Jesus for you. You can go to Jesus for yourself. You don't have to wait on the preacher and make sure that he's right with the Lord. And I hope the preacher does stay right with the Lord. But at the end of the day, we personally can make straight our way for the Lord. It's a decision that we make for ourselves. Too many people making ways for everything else but God. Too many Christians making way for everything else but God. Here's what we make way for. It's always a thing, isn't it? Us Christians always have a thing. It's a leg thing, it's a back thing, it's a sick thing, it's a work thing, it's a feel thing, it's a weather thing, it's a this thing, it's a car thing, it's a broken pocketbook thing, it's an empty gas thing. And there's always a thing that gets in the way for us making way for the Lord.
Amen.
It's always something in the way. And the bottom line is, there's something in the way for every single one of us. But who makes the decisions to clean up and to prepare a way for the Lord? Does the Lord have place in your heart this morning? Not just for your salvation. Does the Lord have place in your heart this morning to where he rules and he reigns supreme in your life? The choices in which you make, the places in which you go, the things in which you watch, the conversations in which you involve yourself in, does he have room there? Or is it, I'll just see Jesus on Sunday? Okay, well then you're not making way for him. So don't get upset when he stands afar off. He doesn't have room here. Amen. Remember, he was looking for a place to lay his head, and there was no room in the inn. Jesus is used to not having a place to sit, and far too often, we let him sit on the outside with the outcasts of life because we have our little center of folks here that we like to enjoy ourselves with. The folks that we can drink with and smoke with and cuss with and dirty jokes with, and we can enjoy that time together because I don't have time for Jesus and all his good stuff. Right? But when something goes wrong, I want to come running and I want Jesus to show up quick, fast, and in a hurry. But we had a way to let him in our lives days ago, years ago, decades ago, and we chose not to do it. Make straight the way of the Lord. John's telling them, prepare because your Savior is coming. Well, here we are as children of God. Jesus is already here. If you have him in your heart, if you're saved, if you're going to heaven, you are a child of God. But yet we still leave him on the outside. He can't come on the inside. So I challenge you this morning to make way for the Lord. Making a way for Christ takes work.
Amen.
It takes sacrifice. It takes commitment. It takes time. It takes intention. It takes submission. One of the biggest problems in America today is we don't want to submit to somebody else. I don't want anybody else telling me what to do. I'm big, I'm bad, I'm strong, I got money in my pocket, I got a nice car, I got a nice house. Man, I've got degrees enough to fill a thermometer, and I'm good and strong and wise. But I don't want you telling me what to do. I don't care to tell you what to do. I could care less what you do. But I tell you what, if you want Jesus, he cares.
Amen.
If you want Jesus involved, he cares. So my job as a preacher to give that warning and say, hey, ho, 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 time out. No, bad idea. Let's not do that. Let's not do that. Oh, you want Jesus? I want you to have Jesus. So here's how we get him. It takes some work. It takes some time. It takes some mission. It takes commitment. And then guess what happens? Blessings. It takes integrity of crossing that line and saying, nope, not going to do that. Nope, not going to do that. Nope, not going to do that. And it's on purpose and it's intention time and time and time again. God wants to visit with us today, but we don't make a way for him. God wants to be a part of your Monday. God wants to be a part of your Tuesday. God wants to wake up. God wants to be a part of your Saturday. And God wants to be a part of your Friday night. And God wants to be a part of all that stuff you watch on TV that ain't helping you. But what happens is we don't make a way for him. He's not welcome right now. I'm not cleaning the place up for Jesus today. I tell you what, Lord, if you're going to come over, it's going to be a little bit dirty and a little bit dusty. And sometimes he'll still come. But you know what happens when you find yourself in the presence of Christ? You start to clean up a little bit. What are you doing? Hey, Jesus is here. Hey, I got to take some time and clean this up a little bit because I don't like him and all this filth. And praise the Lord that you do that. But you know you can do that more often. You can make a way for him more often. Let me get my notes back out for the sake of illustration. God wants to visit with us today, but we won't make a way. Prepare you a way for the Lord in your life. See, what has to happen is you have to clear a path. You have to make a way for him to walk in so that he's not stumbling over stuff. You guys seen that show, Hoarders? You all seen that show, Hoarders. That's a nasty show, man. I'm telling you this. My wife and kids had it on the other night. I said, man, I'm about to puke. All these things found on the bottom of the... They got stuff that's been there for decades. Gallons of milk. Oh, praise the Lord. I used to detail cars. Here's my illustration. Thank you, Lord. Here's the illustration. I used to detail cars. The name is going to remain nameless, but there's a few people in here who know who I'm talking about. I was detailing the cars. I went with this one day and I picked this lady's car up and she said, I got this horrible smell in my car and it's just been there for months and it's just bad. And I just, could you get it out? I said, I'm pretty good at it. I could probably get it out for you, but you know, let me take a look at it. I go to pick the car up and I see this green mass underneath the driver's seat. And this green mass is like a molded, nasty mass. And I'm thinking, well, obviously I know what the problem is. I mean, that's where the smell's coming from, so I guess I'm going to have to get away with this. So I said, so what happened here? She said, oh, that was a gallon of milk that busted about 2 months ago, and I just never got around to cleaning it up. Never got around to cleaning it up? I'm sorry, if I busted a gallon of milk, it's getting cleaned up. I'm not waiting days or months or weeks. It's got to get cleaned up now, right? But far too often, that's what you and I do in our lives. We'll put up with the stench. We'll put up with the mess. We'll put up with the issues for now. And before you know it, the smell becomes normal, doesn't it? And I didn't make a way for cleanliness. I didn't make a way for righteousness. I didn't make a way for doing right for the Lord. So guess what? I just kind of enjoyed being stuck in the muck, right? So that's what we do far too often. In order to make a way for the Lord, we've got to chop some things down. We got to get that bush hog out. Right, fellas? Hey, if the field gets overgrown with weeds, guess what's got to happen for it to get back to the field? You got to bush hog it. You got to run that tractor across it. You got to chop them things down and get it back to normal. I was talking to Pastor Connor this week about his property down there, and he said you wouldn't believe it. He posted some pictures of his new property online. He said when we first got this property, it was all weeds. He said it was all just overgrown trees and branches. It was just nasty. He said, but we bush hogged it. He said, we bush hogged it. And now the grass is just as beautiful as can be. He said, the property is nice and pretty. The tree is changing color. He said, all we did was bush hog it. All we did was just clear out a little bit of the brush and the rest of it came back on its own. You know, how you prepare a way for the Lord is you intentionally got to hop on that bush hog. You intentionally got to chop some things up, and you got to get rid of the garbage. You got to open that path up for the Lord. You've got to make straight a way for Jesus. You have got to make a way straight for him in your life. You've got to get that bush hog out. Sometimes it takes a machete or a weed whacker. Sometimes you might not get have to get that whole bush hog out. Sometimes it's just a big, strong machete in your hand, and you can just chop some things down as you're walking through. But make a way for the Lord in your life.
Amen.
Don't just look at everybody else having a part of the Lord. You take part of the Lord. Don't just enjoy the Lord that everybody else has. You enjoy him for yourself, but you've got to do that on purpose. You've got to do that with intention. We need to clean up our lives for him. We've got too many dirty houses and too many dirty vessels. Too many dirty houses and too many dirty vessels. What you've got in your heart right now ain't ready for Jesus. All that mess you got inside of you, all that stuff that you quote unquote enjoy, and it just leads you down a path of nothing. It leads you down a barren path. You have nothing at the end of it to look forward to. You have nothing at the end of it to appreciate. All you have is drunkenness. All you have is problems, and somebody else did this, and drama, and this, and that, and that, and this, and I got this family problem, and I got that family problem, and this guy at work, and that my wife this, and my husband that, and my mama this, and my daddy that, and my kids this, and all of it is just drama. What happens is, because we don't make a way for the Lord, we're stuck in the muck. And we can't get it all cleaned up, and we refuse to clean it out, and we just got to continue to deal with it. But what John said is he came out, he gave that warning. He said, hey guys, Jesus is coming. He's on his way, but you got to make a way for him. You got to prepare you a way for the Lord. And that's what he's telling you and me this morning. So you say, preacher, how do you make the way straight when you're expecting company? I'm glad you asked, because I got three easy ways here, and I'll be done. I want you to stop and think about it this morning. How do you make a way when you've got company coming over? Think about it. Think about the process that you go through, and it's really, really, really simple. The first thing that you do, how do I make a way for the Lord in my life? The first thing you have to do is evaluate and assess your situation. You just got to be honest with yourself. You have to sit back and assess and say, what's dirty? What needs attention? As you're preparing for the company coming over, you say, what needs to be thrown out? What do I need to get rid of? What needs repaired? What needs replaced? Isn't that what you do when you got company coming over? Hey, hon, just about every time, my wife has the things that she's taking care of, but then I have a little list, and she'll say, I need you to do this, 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 and this. She's already evaluated what needs to be done, right? Well, she's just telling me, hey, we got friends coming over, we got family coming over, I need you to take care of this. Amen? I can choose to do it or not, right? But in order for us to be properly prepared, it's something that needs to get done. But it takes an evaluation and an honest assessment. You know what? The bathroom's kind of grimy. You know what? There's a good amount of hair on the floor. Huh? There's a little bit of crowdedness there in the living room. Maybe we should throw some of those things out. Right? But it takes an honest evaluation and assessment that says, I probably should fix that. You know that door that's been swinging like this for the last 3 years? I should probably correct that. Right? Hey, you know I found myself that I'm always stuck in this rut. So I guess I should find a way to start avoiding this rut. And how am I going to do that? Well, you got to be honest with yourself. You've got to be stone cold hard, honest with yourself, and say that right there is not helping me prepare a way for the Lord, so I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to get rid of it. I got to repair it. I got to fix it. But in order to get a prepare a way for the Lord, it starts with just that. Evaluate, assess your situation. Once you've evaluated it and assessed, what do you do next? So think about it now. I want you to take your mind back. Thanksgiving is coming. How are you going to get the house ready for the folks? Well, you evaluate and assess what needs to be cleaned up. I got to do this. I got to do that. I write my list. I do this, do that. I got to go to the store. I got to buy this. I got to buy that. I need this for this recipe. I need that for this recipe. I got to do all this. This is what I got to do. Now, then what happens after you do that? You say, prioritize. Right? Which of these things is most urgent and most important? Okay, here's the example. Some things need done now. Some things can wait a little bit of time. And other things have more impact. Or some things have more impact than other things. Do they not? Hey, if the toilet is broke and you ain't fixed it, it's going to have a lot more impact than if the wooden leg on the chair is broken. Am I wrong? Right? If that toilet ain't working on Thanksgiving, we're making other plans. Something's changing, right? Because it's not a comfortable situation. So some things take priority over other things. And that's good and that's right. So as you evaluate it in your life, you assess it in your life, you've got to now prioritize what's first, what's next. So I put it this way. In our lives, one of the first things that need to be cleaned up is our language and our speech.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
What goes in comes out.
Amen.
What goes in comes out. You know why you speak the way you do? Because you take it in. You know why you're always angry and always angry and always bitter and always frustrated and always aggravated and you never can get on top side and you can never find a victory, you can never make it work? Because all you take in is negativity. All you're taking in is bad stuff around you. You're around this bad stuff. You're around that bad stuff. And you're around this. And you've heard it before, all the self-help books and all this other stuff. Most of the time when you read a good self-help book, it came from Bible principles anyway.
Amen.
It's biblical principles that they put in word form so that you could understand them. All these big guys making all this money, maybe I should leave the church and start making six figures like they do. All I got to do is read the Bible and help their lives. But the difference is they got to apply what they learn. But here we are, we got to clean up our language and our speech. We got to clean up our purpose. We got to prioritize our purpose in our lives. Most of our purposes is to put money in our pockets. And that's down on my list. My priority tomorrow is not to make more money. Now, it needs to be done. Bills have to get paid, right? I like having things. So guess what? I need money. But you know what's more important than money tomorrow? Am I right with my Savior? Hey, you know what's going to make me come home and treat my wife and kids the way they need to be treated properly? Am I right with the Lord?
Amen.
You know what's going to help most the relationship between me and my wife? It's not going to be that I get a fresh haircut. It's not going to be that I take a shower. It's not going to be that I bring money home on a paycheck. The difference between the relationship between my wife and I is, how am I with the Lord today? And the reaction is going to be the same. How she treats me will be dependent upon how she's treated the Lord. Amen?
Yeah. Amen?
So the biggest importance tomorrow is not, can I get to work on time? The biggest importance tomorrow is, what am I doing for the Lord today? Whether I'm in college, whether I work a fine job, whether I'm still looking for a job, my priorities need to change. My purpose needs to change. My focus needs to change. My commitment needs to change. I'll tell you this. Wrong people in wrong places will put you in the wrong situation.
Amen.
Wrong people in the wrong places will put you in the wrong situation. And you know what you have the ability to do? Don't hang around them. Don't go there. Don't hang around them and don't go there. Well, I like them. They're my friends. And they're leading you down a path of destruction. And it's not very successful for you. It's not working out right now. So let's take an idea and say, Lord, I'm making a way for you. Hey, I don't want to lose a good friend, but I need my Savior more than I need my friend. So God, I'm going to make a way for you. And if I get to have that friend, Lord, if you allow me to keep that friend because I've made a way for you, then so be it. But if not, Father, you're the one that I got to stay closest to. He's got more money than they do. He's got more abilities than they do. He can console you a lot better than they can. But you've got to make that decision for yourself. So how do you make a way? You evaluate, you assess your situation. You prioritize what needs to get done and you do it. You assess it, you prioritize it, now you need to attack it. You need to attack it. It's not going to take care of itself. Hey, you can look at that bathroom all day, but that toilet brush is going to stay in that toilet holder until you pick up that toilet brush. Right? You got to do it, son. You can't just look at it and hope it gets done. It's got to get done by you. Right? There's no blinking. There's no Aladdin. That's fake. False. It's a narrative. It's not true. You got to get your elbows dirty. You got to get your hands dirty. If you want to make a way for the Lord, you got to do it. You can't just hope it gets done. You got to do it yourself. You can't just say, well, I'll hire somebody to come clean it up for me. And then you run out of money. Right? So guess what you got to do? You got to get dirty. You got to clean it up.
I'm cheap. I'm real cheap. Mainly because I've always been poor. That's why I'm cheap. But when the plumbing broke at my house in Indiana, instead of calling a plumber every time, I had to go buy a snake. And that's a nasty job. To put a snake down a sewer and to clean out a grease trap or to clean out another trap, mm-hmm. It's not fun. But you know what? It's either I do that, deal with it, or pay somebody else to do it. And I couldn't afford to pay anybody else to do it. And it's got to get done. It's got to get done. So guess what I had to do? I had to get dirty and do it. It ain't fun, but it's got to get done. Hey, look, there's decisions that you make for the Lord that might not tickle. Might be hard. It might be difficult. It's not going to be fun. You're going to have some people questioning you. You're going to have these same friends coming and saying, well, do you really want to do that? I mean, this whole cult thing. No, it's Jesus thing.
Amen.
It's a Jesus thing. It's not cult thing. It's not church thing. It's a Jesus thing. And I need Jesus. So you got to attack it. It's not going to take care of itself. It takes work, elbow grease, time spent. It takes a burning back. It takes aching feet. It may be hard, but the result is worth it. The result is worth it. You feel better about it. You enjoy it more. I put this. Your floors need cleaning? Start sweeping. Start sweeping. Your language bad? Stop engaging in bad language. You keep cussing and fussing? Stop. Stop cussing and fussing. You need your door. Your door need painting? You got to sand down the rough spots first. Sand down your bad music and your bad programs. Hey, you need to knock down some rough spots? Knock them down. Take them out. Hey, most TV preachers ain't good. Sorry, I'm not saying that because I'm a preacher. I'm telling you that because it's true.
True.
Most TV preachers ain't right.
Amen.
Look at their six figures and their yachts. Mm-hmm. I ain't got one of them. I'll love you far more than they will. They only love you if you're going to send something. They'll send you a nice little prefabricated letter thanking you for it and a little bottle of holy water that they got out of the faucet. But they blessed it. Get rid of all that junk. Stop watching them TV preachers. They ain't going to help you. Well, I like being spiritual. Read your Bible. Next. Contemporary Christian music is bad for you. Uh-oh. Contemporary Christian music is bad for you. It's not good for you. What do you mean? Are you trying to say that I ought not listen to Christian contemporary music? No, I'm telling you, it's too much sugar. It's bad for you. You know, you enjoy sugar, and it tastes good, but you would admit it ain't good for you. Anybody here think sugar is good for your health? But you sure do enjoy it, don't you? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this. Christian contemporary music will take you closer to the world than it will Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus doesn't live in a dance house. Jesus doesn't live in a bar scene. Jesus doesn't hang out at the concerts. Jesus hangs out in you. He hangs out in your place, your temple, your vessel. Christian contemporary music will take you closer to the world and Satan than it will Jesus and his righteousness. I'm not here to decide whether or not you do it, and I won't be checking up on nobody. And if you listen to it, I ain't going to say a word about it, because that's not my job. I'm here to give you a warning. The warning is Christian contemporary music will take you closer to the world than it will to Jesus. That's why your mind keeps going back in emotion so often. Oh, I kind of enjoy it. I'm enjoying Jesus over here. Hey, y'all want to go to the concert this weekend? Yeah, I guess I'd go to the concert this weekend. Yeah, ain't a bad idea. Hey, y'all gonna be drinking at the concert this weekend? Yeah, but I don't drink. Oh man, but you got one though, don't you? Let me share one. Let me have one. Before you know it, you're doing wrong. Just like that. Old man that I used to listen to for an addiction program that I was running, he said this: you hang out in the barbershop long enough, you're gonna get a haircut. You hang around the barbershop long enough and you're gonna get a haircut. Those of us that got here. I wasn't looking at anybody. I was looking at Mr. Perfect. I wasn't looking at anybody else. But the bottom line is this. All I'm saying is there's some things in this world that'll take you closer to the world than it will to Jesus, and you got to be mindful enough to get rid of it. And it's going to hurt. It ain't going to be enjoyable. Amen. But you better do it now, because it's just going to hurt you later.
Amen.
Carrying on. Eat better spiritually. If the door's coming off the hinges, get a new door. If the door's coming off the hinges, get a new hinge. What does a hinge do? A hinge assists in opening and closing. Sometimes we got to close the door to old friends and open the door to new friends. Sometimes we got to close the door to selfishness and open the door to giving. Sometimes we got to close the door to pride and open the doors to submission to God. Sometimes we got to close the door to anger and we open the door to appreciation and joy. We close the door to opinions and open the door to God's ways. So if my door is falling off the hinges, I've got to close it, fix it, and open it to something else because I don't want the product that was in there the last time. It's not working. So I make a change. Why? I need the Lord. I need the Lord. Most of the filth in our lives can be easily cleaned up, rather easily. The problem is we don't take the trash out. We don't take the trash out. The trash stinks. Take it out. Man, I don't like that. Take it out. Get rid of it. Remove it. And don't do it again. And when it starts to stink, take it out again. And when it starts to get dirty, clean it up again. And come back to the Lord and say, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God, I don't want that result anymore. Well, guess what you got to do? Make a change. Move. Get your feet going. Get your elbows dirty. Get your hands in the works. Start doing some push-ups and some sit-ups. Do right in Jesus so that you can make a way for him. Instead of saying, I wish I had him. I wish the Lord were better for me. Let's get going. Come on, get moving. Pick it up. High knees. Step it up. Let's go. Why? I want the result. I want the result. Make a way for the Lord this morning. Choose to clean up. Be different than you've been. Make a change. Too many Christians just accept themselves. No. No, don't accept it any longer. If you're not happy with where you are today, don't just say, well, that's the way I am. That's the way I've been. That's the way I was treated. That's the way I was brought up. Well, that's the way I learned. Stop. You have a voice. You can make a change now. Amen. Stop. But you got to get dirty.
Amen.
You got to get dirty. Why? Jesus is coming. He wants to come over. Jesus is knocking at the door. He's trying to get in. Hey, he wants a place to sit. He's trying to take you down greener pastures. He's trying to put you in a better spot. But the problem is we say, no. You can't come here, Lord. No. Not today. I'm busy.
Amen.
No, God, you know, I really wanted to do those whatever. I really wanted to go to that party. And Lord, I really wanted to hang out with those friends. And Lord, I just, you know, I really enjoyed that, you know, that other kind of church. And, that, you know, I was really enjoying myself. And I was having me a good time. They ain't good for you. It's not good for you. It's not good for your health. But I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I could name list after list of people who enjoyed it and had good times and woke up the next morning regretting everything they did.
Amen.
It's not a good path for you. It's not a good path for me. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to clean it up and I ain't going. Years ago, I had to make those same decisions. Years ago, I had to make those same choices. I got looked at. I got laughed at. I got mocked. I got made fun of. I still do. I still got people in my family think I'm a nut. And that's okay. But I tell you what, I got a family that loves me. I got a family that I love. I got a family that I take care of. I got a family that don't have to wonder whether daddy's going to get put in jail tomorrow. They don't have to worry about me coming home and telling my wife I cheated on her. They ain't got to worry about whether or not they're going to get food put on the table because the Lord's going to provide for us. I'm okay. Hey, I did all right. Ain't done, but I'm not finished. I know it, but sure enough, I'm getting well taken care of.
Amen.
And I don't drink and smoke and talk and hang out with those that do, and I'm just fine, doing all right. But I made decisions. I made choices. You can do the same. God is not a respecter of persons. You can have the same result. I'm trying. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're making excuses. I can't because. I ain't because. I won't because. And everything you have, every time God wants to make a move in your life, you say, I can't because. Or I won't because. Or I ain't gonna because. And I wish I could. And I'd like to. You have an option. You have an option. Get up. Realize your situation. Your filth this morning. We all need cleaning. We all need cleaning. Hey, preacher, you need cleaning? Yeah. Hey, I let some things in my life yesterday that probably ought not be there today.
Hey, I let myself some let some things in my life today that better not be there tomorrow. And it's always a constant evaluation and understanding and assessment that says, if I want to make a way for the Lord in this heart, I've got to get rid of this. I can't keep doing that. I got to stop this. And guess what? Sometimes you just got to cut it off. You just got to cut it off. I just got to make a way. I just got to make a way. Will you do that? Will you make a way for the Lord? Assess it, prioritize it, attack it. Would you stand? Head bowed and eyes closed if you don't mind. There's no sense in me preaching if we're not going to give the opportunity for somebody to make a decision. That doesn't necessarily mean that you got to come forward and make a decision. Maybe you can do that in your pew. Maybe you've already done that throughout the message. But there's no purpose in me giving a message that I can steer you closer to the Lord and then not give you an opportunity to make a change for yourself. So that's this time. With our head bowed and our eyes closed after the message is preached, it's between you and the Lord this morning. It's not between you and the preacher. It's not between you and the church. I'm not going to take a tally of what your decision is for the Lord, but you know in your heart and in your mind where the Lord spoke to you this morning. And I'm asking you to just take a few minutes, maybe a minute and a half to yourself between you and Him, and get it right with Him this morning. Are you saved this morning? If you were honest to yourself and God this morning, would you admit that there are things in our life that we could make a way for Him? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, let me see how many are honest this morning. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if there's something in your life that you would agree that you could change to make a way for the Lord, would you raise your hand? Amen, 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 amen. There's not a hand down in the building. You know why? We know. Thank you. We know. We know. I know. You know. Let's do that for the Lord this morning. The most selfish thing in the world you can do is live for Jesus. Did you know that? The most Christ-honoring thing you can do in the world is live for Jesus. You won't regret it. You can't regret it. He's too good to regret it. Step out on that faith and do it. Are you saved this morning? Are you on your way to heaven? Do you know that for a fact? These things have I written unto you that believeth on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. He wants us to know. If you don't know if you're saved this morning, would you raise your hand? I don't know if I'm saved this morning. I don't know if I'm going to heaven this morning. That would be you. Would you raise your hand? Okay, good. Now, child of God, let's be better children. Let's be better children. Have you been baptized? That's the next step after you get saved in the Lord, is to get baptized. Can't grow spiritually if you don't get baptized. Why? Spiritual handcuffs. The Bible tells us that the Lord puts spiritual handcuffs on us. We can only grow so much. We're hindered without taking a step for Him. It's a symbol. Have you joined a good Bible-believing church? Are you church hopping? Looking for a good one that you like? I encourage you to do that until you find one that you know the Lord's called you to. Then you better stay. You better stay. Why? Safest place to be. Join a good church this morning. Bible-believing church. Find a preacher that loves you enough to hurt your feelings. Find you a preacher who loves you enough, who's going to come by and see you, and he's going to give you that warning and say, you're about to get stung right there. Not because the preacher's trying to tell you what to do. That's not my job. I'm trying to save you some pain. How is it between you and the Lord this morning?